Jesus heals 10 lepers, and one, seeing that he was healed, turned back. Today's gospel reading from Luke invites us to consider who God is for us and what this means for us, and how we are moved to show our gratitude to God. When I first started working on this sermon, I thought it would be all about gratitude, because there's certainly a lot to say in that area. However, as soon as I got going, I knew that I was feeling called to say something about those lepers first, and what Jesus did, and how that translates, perhaps, into our own day, our history, and today. As you may know, in ancient times, there was no cure for this disease of leprosy, now called Hansen's disease. To have a skin abnormality was to have one's community identify you as the other, meaning banishment, isolation from one's friends and family, exclusion from the religious rites of community. To be marked as unclean, it was the end of life as someone knew it. So not only did the person have the disease, but suffered this horrible isolation and banishment. Therefore, when Jesus heals the lepers, he's healing so much more than their physical ailment. And a lesson for us is that God brings all of God's children together, breaking down everything that separates us. Divisions are healed, and all are included. This core value and message of our Christian faith is one we always need to keep in mind, because every day we are encouraged by the world to put up our barriers, to view others with fear, and to protect what is ours. We've seen it again and again in history. We see it in our time when people speak of other human beings as different and to be feared. We hear it so often, we don't always recognize it until years later, or when we have been labeled as a threat of some kind. It makes me think of those words that come to us out of the era of World War II. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. These are the words of a German pastor, Martin Niemöller, who grew in his understanding of what was going on in Nazi Germany. He sometimes criticized that he supported Hitler in the beginning, but he began to realize as he saw developing what would be called the Nazis' final solution. In more recent history, the fear and persecution of the gay community that became particularly severe as news started to be disseminated about HIV/AIDS, that was back when I was a teenager about to go to college, fear of anyone known to have AIDS. When I was reflecting on this account of Jesus and the lepers and the isolation the lepers experienced, I thought of the book entitled My Pet Virus, by Sean Decker. Sean contracted HIV through a blood transfusion when he was a child. His story is engaging for me, and maybe for you, because Sean grew up in Virginia, in Waynesboro. I had just graduated from high school outside of Charlottesville, as Sean's story starts, as told in the book. But I'm close enough in age and cultural experience that his story touched me deeply. With humor and wit and insight and intelligence, Sean explains the sad facts of what happened when his diagnosis became known at his school. He was asked to leave school, basically expelled from the sixth grade. As Sean writes, In 1987, people were so fearful of widespread HIV transmission that everything from handshakes to sharing number two pencils was suspect. I tell you this story because it's the story of so many who've been targeted for exclusion, isolation, and persecution. And it will happen again. It always does. When new situations arise and there seems to be this great threat, we as humans have a tendency to treat people like the lepers of Jesus' time. The healing that knowing Jesus brings to many of us is healing from our fear. Healing from our fear so that we can be people of love and compassion to all. Having known this healing love of God in our lives and having known God, how do we then show our gratitude? The primary reason we're here today, that we come to church, is to give thanks to God for creating us, for creating our world, for coming into our lives through Christ, for doing everything to help us and bring us salvation now and into eternity. Forever and ever, God with us. Even when times are tough, all that God has already done for us invites our praise. And to give that praise feels good, doesn't it? Doesn't it feel good? It does. I once had a church member say to me years ago that he did not need to come to church because he could find out what happens from someone else. You can imagine how I was trying to keep the look on my face pretty neutral when he said that. Because to me, that's like saying you don't need to go to your own wedding because you can hear about it from someone else. What we do here as individuals and gathered in community, it really has an effect. It changes us. It makes a difference. To be in this place of thanksgiving, and I think that's one of the reasons it does, because this is a place of thankfulness, of thanksgiving, where we connect with this deep truth of God who loves us, and we want to give thanks and praise to God, and that's who God is, and we know that here, certainly elsewhere, but certainly here, and then we know who we are, and it feels good. There's no substitute for this weekly experience of worshiping God, giving thanks to God in community. We are spiritually renewed by worship, but the first reason we're here is to praise God, to give thanks, to show our gratitude. Jesus says to the one who returns, "Get up, go on your way, your faith has made you well." As commentators have noted, this saying of Jesus has sometimes done more harm than good, or as much harm as good. And that's because people equate it with you have to have a certain faith or you will not be blessed by God, you will not be healed. I think I've preached about this here before, but to say once again, God desires the healing of everyone. And no amount of faith or lack of faith changes that, changes who God is. We can't change who God is. God is the one who loves us and desires our well-being and our healing physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus is pleased that the healed Samaritan returned to give thanks. Oh, and I haven't mentioned yet, of course, the Samaritan not accepted by the Jewish community, a Gentile. So this person was not only afflicted with leprosy, but was already seen as the other. And yet Jesus embraces the Samaritan and shows that God's salvation is for all. So in response to this return and the thanks, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." Wellness here refers to something much greater than physical healing. In the Samaritan's gratitude, faith is practiced, faith is displayed. The Samaritan recognizes what God has already done for him, and this is what makes him well in a holistic sense. We are like the one who returns to thank Jesus, to thank God when we worship God and when we support God's ministry in the world through all that we do. On my third Sunday with you, I had not been here very long. If you were here, you might remember that I bravely preached a sermon about money. I talked about it, and it actually didn't take much bravery because I don't mind talking about money, because that's part of what makes this work, makes the ministry and the world happen. Giving to the church has given me a lot of freedom, and so I want to talk with you about that some more today. It's one of the ways we show our gratitude to God by supporting ministries. The money actually translates into supporting actual things that are happening. Ministries of feeding the hungry, having pastoral care, Christian education, worship that praises God and renews us, caring for the homeless, caring for those in prison, caring for the children of Mzula in Tanzania, and so much more. I could go on and on and on for the environment, for so much. And all this we do and are able to do because this church, Holy Comforter, exists. When we support the church, we're showing gratitude, and in showing gratitude, we are engaging our faith and growing in faith. We are the church, you and I. We are Christ's hands and heart in the world. It's you and I. This is it. God working through us. Soon you will be getting a letter from me. Some may have received it already, but probably by Tuesday. It is the first of two letters about making a financial commitment to God through Holy Comforter for 2014. In the letter, I speak of how it is both a practical and spiritual act to make a pledge to our church. When I joined the church as a young adult, I started giving to the church out of a sense of duty. And that's not a bad reason to give at all. But at a certain point, through prayer and reflection, I came to a felt realization that everything I have is a gift from God, that it's all grace. And at that point, my giving came from a sense of gratitude, which makes all the difference. It makes all the difference. In gratitude to God for all of God's love and care and breaking down barriers and bringing us together, we respond with worship and praise and work and giving to the mission of God in the world through the church. To conclude, I'd like to share some words from Joan Chittister, a well-known spiritual writer. She says, "Without a doubt, unstinted gratitude saves us from the sense of self-sufficiency that leads to forgetfulness of God. Gratitude is not only the posture of praise, but it is also the basic element of real belief in God. We proclaim that our existence and all its goods come not from our own devices, but are part of the works of God." And this is my favorite. "Alleluia," she says, "gratitude is the alleluia to existence. Gratitude is the alleluia to existence, the praise that thunders through the universe as tribute to the ongoing presence of God with us, even now." Amen.